Well, we're all kids at heart, and Kingy, you've put a footy twist on an old favourite game.
Snakes and ladders is what it's all about today, Robbo, and boys, is that at the start of the season, we all had expectations on certain teams to do, to achieve certain levels. And I'll give you an example, Robbo. We all thought Port Adelaide would be in the premiership fight.
You so. Did.
From that starting point to have only won 5 games for the year, they'd be a snake. They've hit the old snakes and ladders board and they've plummeted. So they would be up there with maybe you might consider Carlton, you might consider North Melbourne, you might also talk about the Gold Coast Suns.
There's a few snakes.
There's a few snakes. We'll get your best in a moment. And then you've got your ladders, those that you probably thought would be in the bottom bracket of the comp. Give you a couple, like maybe the Western Bulldogs, maybe Adelaide, even Richmond. A lot of people had Richmond out of the 8. West Coast, Collingwood, there's quite a few good stories in the AFL at the moment that we're probably overlooking from time to time. Who's your snake or your ladder?
It's a great conversation. I think we're going to go outside the square a bit. I reckon we write down that West Coast Eagles are the ladder and the biggest snake is Port Adelaide. So we've got to go outside. We've got to go outside those two. We praise them up. They've been fantastic, West Coast.
Yep.
They really have. It's funny when Kingy, we take calls and we write about and talk about teams' defence.
Yeah.
And West Coast Eagles have developed a terrific defence.
The web.
It's a great description by Jared Healy. But it's just working. And they've got the firepower up forward. So there's the tick for West Coast. The big one for me is Collingwood. I reckon Collingwood, I don't think anyone I know had Collingwood in the 8. Now, I know they've lost their last 2 games, and we've already spoken about last night's game, but Collingwood, to me, are showing the signs of a really good side. They're a good side now. They are. They're a good side now.
I watched their pre-season, and I thought, how could they go and pick up Varko and Crisp and
I said the same about
Greenwood.
Varko.
The ball was on the ground more than it was in the hands at training during parts of the summer. And you don't watch every session, so you see maybe every 4th, 5th session that Collingwood do. I reckon I got all the bad ones this year. because every time I was there, I was thinking they have not improved with these guys. And I hope that if Freeman and Scharenberg and this next wave of youngsters, DeGoey, don't play a lot of football, who are their class, they're their high picks.
Yep.
Then they're going to miss those weapons on the outside. But that hasn't been the case at all. They've been such a surprise. I mean, they've won 8 games for the year. They sit, 5th on the ladder at the moment? 5th or 6th?
And they push Fremantle.
Should have beaten Fremantle.
To be honest, they should have beaten Hawthorn last night.
Should have beaten
Hawthorn. So, to me, the big ladder outside West Coast on expectation is Collingwood. I just think they've been fantastic. I'll give you a snake. I'll give you my snake. My snake, and it's not Port Adelaide, my snake is Essendon.
Really?
I thought my expectation was Essendon were going to play finals at the start of the year. I thought the pickup of Cooney was going to be really important.
Yep.
That's been a bust.
Yep.
Been a real big bust. And they sit in, where are they? They're equal with St Kilda, Melbourne. Four wins, and they're a game ahead of Carlton. And Carlton was a basket case for 12 weeks. And Essendon play St Kilda tomorrow, Kingy. If they get beaten by that snake that they're sliding down is going to be one of those big, ugly, fat serpents.
Might not be a 2-row snake. It might be a 4 or 5 row.
You were bullish. You were bullish on the Bombers.
I actually don't think their list is as bad as they're performing. They're playing. And that comes back you can say that comes back to the coach or it comes back to the plan. Obviously it does. They're underperforming. The buck finishes somewhere. I think their plans are diabolical at the moment. They don't really have a brand.
And No, they do not.
If that is their brand, Robert, this is worse. If that is their brand, it doesn't work. So at some point they've got to change it because it's comparative. I mean, I look at the new coaches that have come in the last couple of years and their ability to impart a brand almost instantly. And my ladder would be the Western Bulldogs, who I had in the bottom 2 or 3 sides in the comp. Because they're so young and a new coach coming in, it's going to take time. Well, that hasn't been the case at all. Contrary
it's
to what Essendon have done.
Can I interrupt? It's a furphy, Kingy. Mick Malthouse, a year after he was a Carlton, he said, it's going to take time to adjust to my game plan. I don't want to be disrespectful, but it's footy, mate. Hmm. It's footy. How many goddamn plans are there out there? I mean, everyone just about plays the same sort of game. Well, they try to, right? I think it's a furphy when coaches say that. Luke Beveridge and the Dogs have just... They've been enlightening.
They're different plans. There are different plans. I disagree with you fractionally there, but the Western Bulldogs, what they've been able to do behind the footy to change from man-on-man last year and be the poorest in the competition defending one-on-ones to this boxed zone sort of Hawthorne-style setup of 2-3 years ago has reaped enormous rewards. Their back six is undersold. They've got names down there you don't even know. We talked about them during the week.
Yeah, Fletcher Roberts, and Hanley. They're like they're their fullback and centre-half back. And if they actually latch onto the position, they're actually showing right now that there's a possibility, Kingy, that they could be long-term key defenders. Imagine that, picking up two.
It's crazy, isn't it?
In 12 weeks.
And that's part of the snake we're talking about. It doesn't necessarily have to be on the ladder. It doesn't necessarily have to be wins. If you can find players, if you can find a new strategy, if you can find some sort of advantage. You know, we expected what we're getting out of Fremantle and Sydney, and Hawthorn are doing what we all thought they'd do. So nothing's really surprised us there.
No, nothing really has.
Surprised that North Melbourne aren't in that talking point for the top four at the moment.
They're a long way in that talking, in that discussion. A long, long way.
Long way out of it, you reckon?
Yeah,
Why do you say that? I don't think they're a long way out of it.
Well, they've won.
What are they? 6-6. They're 6-6.
They're 6-6, and we're around 14. Okay. Now the vagaries of the draw this year means that North Melbourne can come home with it, come home strongly.
Yeah.
But one thing I've also learnt in footy is don't give a sucker an even break. What I've seen in teams like Melbourne and St Kilda, we'll talk about St Kilda in a second, Kingy. What we've seen in those teams, Port Adelaide home, They can be really, really competitive. So this Brad Scott saying, hey, I think in the second half, you know, we'll be fine. That's fine to say it. It's still got to be done, Kingy. Mm. It's still got to be done. And there's when you play...
Hard to play catch-up, isn't it?
Yeah, when other teams have confidence.
And ladder position.
Oh, yeah.
Players aren't dumb. They look at the ladder. They go, how important is this one? We need to win this one.
Do you think players say, God, we're 6-6? I'm not talking about North Melbourne here. 6-6, they look at the ladder and say, right, we've got to win. Does that tighten the screws a little bit?
Well, it does when you play those teams. I mean, when the Western Bulldogs play North Melbourne, the Western Bulldogs will be saying, we win this one, we won't see them again.
Yeah, that's true.
We could put them to bed today. That's the importance of the game. So they become mini finals along the journey. And you only have to run into two or three of those. And all of a sudden, you've got to be up every week, and it becomes...
Playing nine elimination games, don't you?
Well, it's what happens, and we end up with a Richmond situation, Hutto. When you get to the first final, and the trap door comes, and the bottom falls out of everything, and you just get blown away because you've been up for so long. So
it's too hard of a game. Hutto, as you know, Geelong. Are they coming or going?
It's a good question.
Are they on the ladder, Kingy, or are they on the snake?
They're hitting snakes and ladders.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they've slipped. There's no doubt. I mean, ladder position would tell you that. But the big question is how quickly can they climb back up and how high when they do?
They've got little ladders in there, haven't they? They've found some players. They've found a few players that are going to take them down on a very good path, a very exciting path. I mean, what Reece Stanley showed makes me think, he's in for next year. He's a lock. Yep. He's playing some good ruck for us. But they have struggled again with that second tall forward, haven't they? That's probably their nemesis.
Injury has crippled their season in terms of... And look, they weren't going to get top four anyway.
No.
But they've got massive injury numbers. Not playing a game this weekend that actually helps them a lot because I think there was a few more injuries that were still around.
If they were injury free, who would be the second tall forward?
Oh, Mitch Clark is.
Yeah, Clark.
So where's Vardy?
He's had a troubled recovery, but he's about 3 weeks away from playing VFL.
What about the? I think the biggest snake of the lot's the Gold Coast Suns. We all thought that they'd be taking steps forward, and regardless of wins and losses, getting better as a club, more competitive as a club, Rocket Ed going up there, a new style of play, a bit more flair, a bit more footy, a bit more excitement. That has been the total opposite of what has happened. Polar opposites, they are.
I had them in my eight.
Yeah, I think I had a mate.
Yeah, they were, if I didn't have a mate, they were ninth. You know,
I mean, we all know they were well positioned to make it last year until Ablett got injured. So the natural thought was, for all the reasons you said, Kingy, that they'd be better.
Yeah.
At the very least, they'd be better.
That place has blown up.
It has.
Absolutely.
So how far down has it sunk? I mean, yeah.
Well,
I think
they're in the snake hole.
There's no doubt they're going to be looking
for... They're in the pit. You know that famous scene...
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I was going to say, my famous snake pit was in True Grit.
True Grit.
When the woman fell down and she got bitten by the snake. She's in the little cave there. They're down there, and they're going for survival. And we look at Gold Coast, and it's unfortunately we look at the team and say, God, they're not performing well. The club, the presence on the Gold Coast, that's the one that is just sliding.
And then they may lose players off the back of that.
It's going to be very interesting to see what happens from a player point of view. I mean, they say they want to keep Bennell. Dixon's obviously been a focus, but Rocket was on record saying to us that we'll offer him what we'll offer him and no more.
I reckon Charlie Dixon, he's up because, you know what, you said 2 minutes ago, who's their bloody second key forward? Some clubs are actually looking for a key forward.
Yep.
So when they look around, they say, right, who's there? Who can we possibly get? So you look through the free agency and you look through out of contract, and that's your best chance. Mm. And the number one player? Is Charlie Dixon. Mm. I'll say it again. Charlie Dixon has played something like 11, 12, 14 and 13 games in his last 4 years.
Yep.
He's out again injured. Why would you possibly invest $700,000 a year
for Charlie Dixon?
I wouldn't be taking the risk on Charlie. No. You'll go bust on Charlie. You'll go bust on him. He's 24 years of age and he's making rookie errors.
Yeah, I know.
Rookie errors off field.
That's off field.
He should be leading the way. He should be a leader of those young men. And he's the exact opposite.
They will get some. I was speaking to a few people there in the last few weeks. They'll get some experienced players in. Yep. They'll try to anyway. But I mean,
how?
Well, exactly. That's what I'm wondering.
I've got one for him. I've got a cut. No, I haven't got one for him. I'm talking about a different club. I spoke to a club yesterday, and I've been speaking for a couple of weeks about. And it's Brisbane, and they're on the lookout. So they're in the mix for Charlie Dixon. Now they're considering, in my opinion, whether to take him or not.
Madness.
Now, if they don't take him and they're still looking for a key forward, I saw one last night and everyone go, oh, he's hopeless. But Brisbane just needs someone in the square for 2 years before the kids come through. And his name's Ryan Schoenmakers.
Thought you were going to say Fev.
No. I reckon they should take Ryan Schoenmakers or go after him and say, hey, Ryan.
Really?
Mate, Daniel McStay's...
Yeah, no, he's exciting.
He's the size of Maxi and thin as you. They've got no key forwards, mate. They just need an experience. They don't need him to kick 50 goals because he probably can't.
The problem is...
They need him to contest.
What are you going to give to get him, Robbo?
Ryan Schoenmakers?
Yeah.
I would say third round pick.
Third round, they won't take that. Hawthorn have had a history of fleecing clubs.
Yeah, I know that.
It goes back as far as Jonathan Hay, Nathan Thompson... Jade Rawlings, you just keep rolling. Brisbane
the young
got
kid
Jared Lyle. I don't think that clubs are that willing to give up too much to Hawthorn at the moment.
Is the young kid O'Brien, does anyone know how he's been coming on?
No, I don't. I don't even know his name.
For boxing.
Tim.
Wearing buddies.
Timmy. And he's got the red hair.
Yeah, I mean, they won't be giving him up easily. But, I mean, I reckon the teams need to do something like that, is target, look for some of those players.
Well, that's what they're doing. But there's not a lot of key forwards around.
No.
So anyway,
the problem is you just get someone else's B grade player. If you want to take a giant stride forward, there comes a point where the draft is the only answer, really.
Brisbane have got two young forwards. One's playing and one's not, and they've got one in their academy, which they're talking up big time. So they think they're going to be really good in that sort of. Key forward. They need someone.
Who's the best
for
one?
For 2 years.
Tell me who's been the best over the last 10 years of a key forward that's been moved from club to club that's actually given a great return. I mean, without talking about Plugger Lockett's an exception.
Yeah, I mean...
Outside of that.
Hawley going back.
Hawley's a good one.
Yeah.
Hawley had a fallout with Sydney, so that was probably an easy
and a really good
easier
first
get.
Year, didn't he?
That's because they're so hard to come across.
That's what I'm saying.
So the other option is to buy. You go and buy a Hogan.
You've been very quiet, Maxie.
Stand there staring at us.
Yeah. I was just waiting for you to give me something and let me in. But
you just joined us. We're doing the snakes and ladders and the various teams going up and down. We'll talk. You finish off what you were going to say there, Maxie, and then maybe talk about the Eagles, who have probably been the biggest climber.
I spoke about it with Ox last week, and I said if I was Melbourne, I'd be offering 8 years over eight. Eight mil over 8 years for Jesse Hogan. Something along that. And then
Melbourne can't.
How do you do that?
You've got to make a big commitment, though. Because if they lose him, then what happens?
They won't lose Jesse Hogan.
You can't.
Why not?
You're basically saying...
Why wouldn't Brisbane go and throw a heap at him and try and get him?
You know what,
Maxie? You can't do that as the club that's holding him, though, can you?
Why not?
Because you ruin your salary cap profile, and you basically say we can't recruit another player from this moment forward.
$1 million for your key position forward.
So you're saying Brisbane offering Melbourne or Melbourne?
Well, I think both. If I was Melbourne, I'd be doing it.
No
I'd be
way.
Making that commitment to him for sure. Because $1 million, your best players are probably on 700 maybe at Melbourne.
It's a fair gap though, 300.
You might be able to.
But if you've got to commit to someone who you think is the future,
you might be able to do it without spending quite that amount.
You could build into it. It could be the capacity to earn that if you finish top five in the
BNF. That's a scary thought. Because what's happened with the expansion clubs and they're attracting players, etc., and the Bulldogs' decision to go after Tom Boyd is that's the norm. Let's do it. And I'm thinking to myself, I listen to Jesse Hogan, I read Jesse Hogan, and I read his tweets. I feel when I listen to Jesse Hogan that I feel that he could be like a captain of the Melbourne Football Club. And he's so invested in the club, Jesse, that I have never considered once that he would leave. But emotion out of it, they've got a CBA agreement coming up for the next 5 years. It'll probably go up to 12 million at some stage.
Go up, yeah.
Clubs will say, we've got to be bold. Let's try and go and get one of these.
What's the difference with Dane Beams, though, at 900 a year over
But he's
years?
Left clubs, mate. Collingwood aren't paying him that.
Yeah, correct. But
Sam Reid is the perfect example of what you're saying.
Does someone go to Sam Reid?
Bust. Cooter, historically. Mark McCurry, if you go way back.
Five-year
contracts at big money. All they do is ruin your own salary cap profile if you don't have to do it.
Hanbury? Been extended out till end of
2021. Hanbury's very well paid. And so is Buddy and so is Tippett. It's funny.
Sydney losing Hanbury wouldn't be as bad as Melbourne losing Hogan.
No, because key forwards don't fall out of trees.
Don't know about that. I don't reckon Sydney's depth is as good as the other clubs around the pointy end of the comp.
But key forward.
Does a club have a crack at Kurt Tippett or Sam Reid?
See, Kurt Tippett.
Why would you invest money in Kurt Tippett? Seriously.
Well, we just talked about the dearth of players that
there's
are
not
available.
I know there's not a lot around.
Someone like a Brisbane could go for him, knowing that he can do what you said, at least provide a contest.
He can provide a contest, but the difference of doing that is you pick up a $700,000 to $800,000 salary.
Only for 1 year, though. I mean, he's only got a year to go in his contract.
So you pick up $700,000 to $800,000 for 1 year, and then you do a new deal, and he'll want five. Or you try and squirrel a Ryan Schoenmakers
Tippett can be your second ruckman, though, even though clearly I'm not sure he likes playing that role from what he said.
I don't know if I want Tippett, mate.
He didn't give you a lot.
Why are you in love with Tippett?
I'm not in love with him at all.
Every time I bring up a name, you go, Tippett.
You're in love with him,
Tippett, Tippett, Tippett.
Calm down, Rob. I mentioned your name a couple of times. I also said Sam Reid. I'm just looking to... For names to...
If Brisbane want a key forward just to stock up for a while...
What about John Butcher? There's one for you.
I don't think John Butcher's the answer.
Sam Day.
Sam Day's a good one.
Hasn't come on the way that I expected him to.
Big disappointment, hasn't he? Really?
Whereas Tom Lynch, I think...
Needs a new start.
He's going to be...
Sam Day's a really good one.
Sam Day needs a new start, I think. And that's the problem they've got, the Suns. That's the problem that they've got. So many players are either underperforming or appear gettable now.
Hey, mate, Dion Prestia is going to be very gettable.
Gettable?
He's got a year to go on his contract. I've got a theory that may work. I don't know if it will, but it may. We're calling it the Paddy Ryder, the Paddy Ryder rule. The ability for a club to say, I think out my contract can be null and void by the fiasco of what's going in on this club. I've got an unsafe workplace. I'm not happy. I want to go and I want to invoke that clause to say, I don't think this club's very professional. Half the club's on coke.
Jeez.
I want to get out. I want to get out and really push that rule.
Is that a theory or you've heard something?
Well, that rule's there.
Is it a theory for him or have you heard something?
Have I heard something?
He's always heard something.
Everyone hears everything. All I know is there's a lot of clubs looking for A-grade midfielders, and so how do we get them? How do we get them without giving up a lot? I know, because that's what Paddy Ryder did. You know what Paddy Ryder did?
No, but Paddy Ryder
They looked through the contract and say, I know, we can get out of this clause.
He had proof. Prestia would have to prove that this is going on. Some of the instances you're pointing out were out of season.
Doesn't mean it's not happening, though.
Out of season is different to with an unsafe workplace.
We're out of time, boys. We need your selections.
It's a really, really good topic, that.
For today. Really. Starting here at the MCG with the game coming up, Richmond and GWS.
Tigers should win and win well.
Any concerns?
Yeah,
at all?
There is concern.
Always a concern with the Tigers.
I think the Tigers are going really, really well, Hutto. I wrote about them this morning. The new Tigers versus the old Tigers. But it's a little bit different because it gets a bit wet. And maybe the tools at the back might not be such a problem.
This is when they make you nervous, Robbo.
Yep.
The games they should win. There'll be 35,000 Richmond supporters here very nervous, Anthony. Very nervous.
All right, what about the Suns and the Roos?
Oh, North Melbourne.
No dramas?
No, easily.
Okay. Bulldogs and Blues.
Good game.
Going to be, I can't wait.
Game of the round for
really?
Me.
So you think the Blues are
I call it the match of the weekend.
You're saying they've got a chance?
Really? Match of the weekend?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, of the weekend it is.
It's a ripper.
Yeah, it's not better than Thursday night and Friday night, but the match of the weekend. I'll go with the Dogs. I'm never going to tip against the Dogs when they play at Etihad anymore.
I just think their movement from half-back's going to be too hard for Carlton and Stifle. Stop. Just the way they... It's unbelievable when you go and watch it live.
It's like, you know, it's like the horse racing.
Yeah.
You put on Sydney and Flemington, you go, geez, they're going all right. You put on Belmont or over there, and the track's really dry, and it seems like they're flying.
This will be the game, if Carlton can win it, that'll get John Barker the job.
I wrote that this morning.
You probably stole it off me during the week.
Melbourne and West Coast.
I didn't speak to you during the week.
Anyone think that Melbourne can travel West Coast up in Darwin?
I don't.
They do play at the Ellis.
The spider web's good in Darwin.
It's not the Ellis, though. It's Darwin. So, thank you, Robbo. That's a nice way.
Can someone get him a map, please?
To finish off crunch time, thanks to Ringwood Mazda. When it comes to the crunch, you won't get a better deal. The footy's next.